This morning in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 12, as you probably have already reneged on your New Year's resolution, if you haven't already, you probably will by the end of this month. In fact, statistically, most people do. Only 9% of people actually follow through with their New Year's resolution. So I know you've all made them because you know how that works, right? All you got to do is say something that you're going to do that's big and you'll do it, right? Because that thing works. Yeah, and I've got some swamp land for you. You know, there's another way to see change in your life here this morning. And in fact, there's a biblical way to do that. And if you would open your hearts to God's word this morning, you might be able to see that God has a simpler way, but it's also a way of commitment. Okay? So let's look at Proverbs chapter 4, verse 12. It says, as thou goest, watch this, step by what? Step by what? Step by step, I will open up the way before thee. Notice it doesn't say steps. It says step by step. Notice it doesn't say leaps. Notice it doesn't say jumps. Notice it doesn't say that you're going to do it all in one moment. There's going to be some complete victory that you'll have in a matter of seconds. Can I just tell you, I'm a pastor and I believe that God does the miraculous. But a majority of the time, the way God brings a blessing or a miracle in your life is something that's step by step. It's not all at once. In other words, I'll put it another way for you here. Life with God may be managed, not necessarily cured. In other words, I could line you up to an altar call and have an entire line for all of you to get whatever it is you need from God, and maybe 1 out of 100 might see an instant miracle. Praise God, we love those. God can do that. But a majority of the time, what happens is 99% of the time or more, people are gonna have to walk away and just trust God for that next step. Because that next step, over time, adds up into the blessing and the miracle that God wants for you. Why does God do it this way? Oh, I'm so glad you asked. I'm so glad you asked. The reason why God doesn't always back up the truck and give you the instant everything is because you would not learn to trust Him again after He did that. You would not develop a prayer life. You would not learn how to walk in the Spirit. You would not learn how to trust Him the next emergency that comes along. You would not learn how to obey Him the way He wants you to. You see, most of the emergencies that end up in our life are really just a matter of a lack of discipline in our decisions to obey Him. And most of the time, we tell God, I'm going to obey you, God, but we put that off. And let me just remind you that delayed obedience is disobedience. I don't know, somebody said that. I'll say it again. Delayed obedience is disobedience. Well, Father, I'll do it tomorrow. I'll get on that right away next week. I have a place in the parsonage right now called the workout room. I haven't been in there for months. I got a beautiful treadmill in there. My wife made sure that I've got a weight bench in there. And this isn't Schwarzenegger stuff here, okay? It's just regular, just kind of get something moving, anything moving, okay? There's a TV in there that has all of the lectures that I like from Dallas Theological Seminary, and it's all set up for me to go in there and work out and just do what I do, right? The only problem is I keep putting it off. All I got to do is take one step in there and stay in there, right? And that one step adds to one step adds to one step adds to one step. And over time, I am blessed. I want to give you three areas where that brings God's blessing in your life. Here's the first one, okay? You might want to write it down. It's the little things that make the biggest difference. I know we're all enamored by wanting to see big change in our life. I want to see big change in my life. I know you do too. But let me tell you this, that God knows your weaknesses and your limitations. God wants you to believe for big things, but He's only asking for one small step. Isn't that good of God? Because I got to tell you something. Sometimes the devil comes in the details for me, and I start to look at a situation in my life, and it's elephant-sized. And I say, how am I going to be able to conquer that? How am I going to overcome that? How am I going to deal with that? I remember one time in our life, my wife and I, and this is the thing, we all see numbers differently. I'm going to throw out a number here that 25 years ago, we were around $23,000 in debt. Now, for some of you, you're like, whoop-de-doo, right? And some of you are like, oh my gosh. Can I just tell you that everybody's got their own cross and their different sizes? Don't compare crosses. Okay? But for me, it was a bad deal. And I remember my wife, by Christmas time, she gave me for Christmas a signed check to the last of that $23,000. And I couldn't believe it because I thought that the $23,000 was impossible. And yet my wife was able to do it. Come on, church. She was able to do it step by step. It was the greatest Christmas present I had ever had. I felt freedom. I felt like I was Braveheart, man. I was in the middle of that freedom, you know. It was awesome. Some of you don't care about that, but I for me, that's a big deal, you know. I don't care for debt. And so what did I do after that? I took my credit cards out and I went and bought a bunch of other stuff, right? No. I said, you know, God, this is miraculous to me. This is my miracle. God, I'm going to change, Lord. But how do I do it? And I started realizing that before the paycheck even came, that everything had to be budgeted and dealt with so that the money didn't touch me in any way. And after about 20 years now, the money can touch me. It can touch, not your money. I don't touch your filthy lucre. I'm talking about the money that it can touch me now. You know why? Because my wife's on the other side of the pendulum now. She's like, can we spend a thing, please? Right? And I'm investing in everything I can get my, you know, because I love being free. Do you see what God did? He had to step by step change my heart. It's not just the outside, and many of you want to see this major thing on the outside change, but God says, I'm not going to change it right away, and I'll tell you why, because I still have your heart to change, and your heart changes step by step. I grew up in a town called LaPorte in Indiana. We are known for being the slicers. We had two factories in that town, all right? One was Alice Chalmers. We made the best tractors in the world. Got arrested in there a couple of times. Won't even go into that. That's another story. Come back next week. I'll tell you the rest of that. Okay? No felonies, though. Yet I was the only one handcuffed. Anyway, Alice Chalmers became a warehouse, and we used to hang out there, you know, and just play war and do a bunch of dumb stuff. So the other factory we had made the slicer machines. What are those, Pastor Glenn? Well, you know, when you go to the deli and you get the really good meat and you put it on it, and here's what you do, because you're like me, you're cheap, man. You just want to be frugal. Give me thin slices. And you think by getting thin slices, right, you're going to get more. No. Suddenly, you know, let's say you're going to buy 3 pounds of meat and you want thin slices. They stick that honking thing up there on the slicer, and here comes the thin. You're like, oh, thin. Honey ham, baby. Honey ham. And it's almost like, wait a minute, this is over already? How did we get from here to here in a matter of just seconds? I said thin, not thick. And let me tell you, it works to bless you or to curse you. You see, to curse you, the devil knows it's a slow fade to bring you or lead you into addiction. There are little, tiny, thin slices that he makes against the relationships in your life, your study time, your prayer time, your church attendance, your fellowship, your lack of fasting, your lack of prayer, thin slices. And you think, not a big deal. And then overnight, it's like, oh my gosh, where's the meat? Or should I say, where's the beef? But it works the opposite way too. When God wants to call you home and he wants to call you back, you start thinking, wow, how do I eat this elephant? One bite at a time. God says, come back to prayer. Just take one step towards prayer. God says, come back to my word. Take another step towards his word. And before long, you're making steps that start to add up to some serious beef, baby. And you see, it's not that hard when you begin to see that God is really in the little things that make a big difference. Malcolm Gladwell put out a book a couple of years ago that I read, and it's called Outliers. In Outliers, there's a particular part of this book that I think is the most spiritual thing I've read in a long time, and that's because it's all about the Beatles. Now, if you don't like the Beatles, I still love you, but you seriously need to check your music selection, because the Beatles are cool, all right? And some of you are like, I really don't care about the Beatles. You don't even know what a Beatle is. I'm not talking about Bugs. I'm talking about there was a day when there was real music. Okay, now I'm sounding old, real old, real old. There was a day when people actually sung, not machines. Yeah. I know. It's hard to believe. And they actually played instruments. Yeah. Anyway, Malcolm Gladwell did this study, and it's really based off this guy by the name of Dr. Daniel Levitin. It's called 10,000 Hours. And 10,000 Hours means this. They studied professionals, doctors. They studied great artists. They studied entrepreneurs. And they studied people like the Beatles. And you know what they found? That they all had to put in their 10,000 hours. We all look at that moment when the Beatles were on the Ed Sullivan Show. And millions of people go, I want to be like them. We want to be like them, but we don't want to do what they had to do. There was 10,000 hours of practice. They were playing in Hamburg in a place called The Cave, right? Watch this, to a crowd of three. They didn't go from a crowd of three to millions overnight. It was the 10,000 hours. It just blows me away how people will get upset at God and the church and think that this thing don't work when they won't even spend 1 minute in prayer. When you have a need, is God the first person who knows about it? Don't answer. I'll answer for you. A majority of the time, no. You need to get your 10,000 hours in. What does that break down to? Interestingly enough, 20 hours a week over 10 years. That's how somebody went from an amateur to a professional. Whatever it is that God's calling you to, God is saying you're going to have to put your time in. I have people all the time say, Pastor, I'd like to do what you do. And I try to talk them out of it. I'm serious. If you aren't called to do this, I don't care. You know, go sell cars. Really. Go help people out with their power bill. Anything. But if you really want to do this, you're going to have to put your time in. Oh, no, brother. And I'm going to make somebody mad. So get your tomato ready. Oh, no, brother. All I have to do is just stand here and the Holy Spirit's going to download it into me. Listen. Yes, be Spirit-led. But if you haven't sown a sail, when the wind starts blowing, you won't catch it. Somebody picking that up? I go see Dr. Tony. He works on my teeth. Thank God for his 10,000 hours. Okay? Or you'd be looking at old Bucky up here today. He did a lot of little things over time. And you are going to do it too. You're going to do it too. And God's going to lead you that way. And it's going to add up, folks, to big blessings. Number two. We're almost done. There's just three. How we treat the small things in life determines if we get the big things. You know, a lot of times we're praying and asking God for God to give you a brand new big word. And God says, you didn't do anything with the last word I gave you. You treated that day of small beginnings wrong. You despise it. And the scripture says, do not despise the days of small beginnings. I've pastored larger churches than this one. I love this. I love this. And you think, oh, wouldn't he like more? Not necessarily. It's when you're ready for more and you're ready to minister to more that we're ready for more. Don't ask what I want because this is just about as much as I can take. This. You. Just being honest. I love you, man. But this is about what I can take right here. Yeah, I ain't Jesus. But when you're ready for more, there will be. Because sheep reproduce sheep. When you stop despising the day of small beginnings, you realize that God does big things like send his son out of Bethlehem. When God does big things in little places and you stop despising those little places, you'll start to see that this is going to add up to something good. And it's going to be a blessing. And you're going to be blessed. How do you treat that? Watch this. If we're faithful with the little things, bigger things come. I want to give you a scripture that you've heard before, but I want you to see the promise in it. It starts off in Luke chapter 16, verse 10. And it starts off with the word if. Say if. If is the middle word of life. If is the middle word of life. Whatever is missing from your life that you want God to do in your life, remind yourself, if. If what? You want the promise, will you do the premise? Here's a promise. If you are faithful in little things. Okay, that's where we're going to start. God says, I want to see you faithful in the little things. Well, God, I want a bigger word from you. God says, I gave you a word. Obey the last command given. If you're able to obey the last command given, I know you treat the small things right. I'll give you bigger things. God says, if, you know, if isn't up to him anymore. He's already done his if. Your if is this. If you're faithful in the little things, then watch this. You will be faithful in the large ones. You've probably only read that scripture this way. Well, God, my attitude would be right when the large ones come. You're correct. Yes, it will. But here's another way to look at that. You will actually get large ones. God is looking for faithful. Can he trust you with anything beyond? Pastor, I really need a wife bad. I mean, you don't know how bad I need a wife. I need a wife bad. And God says, you know what? You can start by treating your mama right. You don't even treat your mama right. But you want God to send you a hot, you know, hot mama. You said it, not me. You want God to send you a hot mama, but you ain't treating your mama right. And God says, I want you to start there. You don't have the character development right in your life so that you can have a bigger thing. And I want your character to be there. Yeah. I want you to have a wife. Yeah, I want you to have a husband. Oh, and these ladies that want husbands, man. Pastor, I'm dating somebody. He's a real good guy. Really? He's got a job? No. He's not a real good guy. Well, Pastor, you're kind of mean. No, I'm not. That's called love. And obviously, you don't know what it is because you think somebody loves you that won't pay bills. And you're like, oh, what kind of church did I step into? if he can't take care of bills, he can't take care of you. Are you catching this? And so God says, I see that in your life too. I've got all these packages already made, done, put together, wrapped for you. Can't wait to send that gift down to you as soon as you're ready to start treating where you're at the right way. And appreciating it. You know what you fail to appreciate will leave your life? You know what? Many times people are wanting more to come into their life while they watch more leave. And they don't understand. They think the whole world has conspired against them. There's a conspiracy out there to make sure that your life is miserable. Yes, there is, and it's you. You're the conspirer. Okay? If you want a conspiracy theory, let me introduce you to the world's greatest one. You. Me. And I got to look in the mirror and say, listen, things are leaving my life that I don't appreciate. I don't treat them well. That person left me that I love. Why? Because I was mean to him all the time. Well, why won't you come back? Well, maybe you did it more than once. You go to the doctor and you say, it hurts when I do this. And the doctor says, all right. If you're faithful in little things, God says you will get bigger things. And you will, watch this, and you will be faithful with them too. Okay? Okay, so in 1983, wrapping up here, an engineer by the name of Lauren Whitehead, really, really cool guy, weird last name. Lauren Whitehead, he published an article in the American Journal of Physics called The Domino Chain Reaction. Now, when we think about the domino effect, we're all on the same page. We all love those somebody set up 63,000 dominoes and knocked it over with just one, right? But sat them up overnight and they kept falling down because like an ant came in and knocked one of them down and they had to set it up all over again. We think that's the only story. But this guy, he's not talking about that story. He's talking about the difference between kinetic energy, right? And what's the opposite of kinetic energy? Where's my science guy? Potential energy. We got a smart church. Kinetic energy is the energy that we experience when something is moving, and that moving something passes on its energy. It's like, you know, you sit at the desk and you see the ball come down, it goes chick, chick, chick. Okay, yeah, kinetic energy. It's transferred, it moves. Potential energy, oh, now we're talking about some heavy spiritual stuff. Because this guy says, oh, check this out. When you operate in the domino effect, you start to see the potential energy. In other words, things that are set up that release their energy when they're just touched a little. Big return, little step. Here's what he found, and he published this article. You can look it up. It exists. Okay? He said, when you knock over a single domino, it can knock over dozens of dominoes in a matter of seconds, but wait, there's more. What Whitehead discovered is that a domino is actually capable of knocking over a domino that is actually not just its size, but a domino that's 1.5 times its size. Whoop-de-doo. I mean, you go 1.5 times, but wait, stay with me, there's more. Now a 2-inch domino can knock over a 3-inch domino. A 3-inch domino can then knock over the 4-inch domino. A 4.5-inch domino then knocks over a 5.5-inch domino. Stick with me. By the time you get to the 13th domino, whew, you can knock over the Leaning Tower of Pisa. And you say, Pastor, no way, Jose. And I say, yes, it's leaning. Oh. Craig, you know you love that. Just take it in, brother. Just take it in. Take it in. Embrace it. Okay. Yeah. By the time you get to the 21st domino, you can knock over the Washington Monument and the 23rd domino, the Eiffel Tower. Why? Because of the potential energy that's released and whatever or whoever placed it there. Oh, talking about God now. God says, if you will just lean into my will and my word and my purpose, if you'll just lean in your one step and you'll do it day after day after day. I want to show you that by the time they got, before they even got to 20 of these steps, we've got major buildings coming down. Why? Because there was potential energy placed in them by positioning them and stationing them up. The bigger they are, the harder they fall. It's true. There are huge things in your life that God says, I positioned them there, but they're not at the second domino or the third or the fourth. God says, give me 13. Give me 13 steps. Give me 18. And suddenly there's a windfall. Suddenly we start to see the exponential curve of God's math of multiplicity, not addition, but multiplication. What does that look like to the church? That means if everyone in the church just reached one and led them to Christ, and everyone else just reached one, By the time we get, before we get to 20, the world is saved. You see how that works. It's just one step. And God says, I've positioned everything else to start to pay off huge. In the finance world, and I'm not going to go deep into that because nobody cares about that, but in the finance world, they call it the rule of 72. And if you start to really look into that rule, you can find out that you, most of you are probably millionaires. You just don't know it. You just spend all the money you could be investing. You know, it's your Starbucks, it's your Diet Coke, it's your this, it's your that, hot dogs here. Yeah. And you put it all together. And over time, it could have been your retirement. Okay, wrap it up. Yeah. Yeah. Number three, this is the last one. Every godly decision you make, God says, I'll multiply that. Every godly decision you make. When you decide to obey God with just one step, God says, I will return that with multiplicity. I'm not just going to meet you at that one. I'm going to multiply you at that one. Now, one's not too big a deal because one times one is. But when you start getting past four, and 16, what's 16 times 16? Come on, come on. No, 16 times 16, church. Nobody cares. One times one is not a big deal. Two times two is 232. But you only took 16 steps. How did you get 232? Because now you're stepping with God, man. Oh, come on. Come on. Just one, two, three, four. After you've taken 16 steps, God says the return is 232 steps in return. Galatians 6:7. You know it. Don't be deceived. You know what that means? Modern vernacular. Wake up, please. Don't be an idiot. Hi. Don't be an idiot. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, he shall reap. Genesis 8:22. As long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest. You say, oh, I'd love a harvest. I plant my one little seed of corn. I plant another and another. And I get back four or five. And it, what happens? Each of them got 4 or 5 ears of corn in it, and I got multiplicitous back. Oh, I love that, Pastor. Here's the problem. Don't take my seed to do it. Everybody wants a harvest where they haven't planted. There are whole generations of people now that want to reap where they haven't sown. And God says, you're going to have to develop some daily steps. I've got good intentions. That won't help you. Intentions don't create futures. Habits do. I want success. There are people going to hell that want success. It's paved with good intentions. All the way to hell, people are saying, I really want to get into that exercise room with God on Monday. Right? But they've never take that step. You look at these steps and you understand you are what you repeatedly do. You are a result. Your success or failure is found in your daily routine. Say daily routine. Life is managed. It's steps of faith, not leaps of faith. You want to run a marathon. It's just one step. Then another. You want to get debt free. It's just one step. Pay off a bill. Then another. You want to graduate with a degree. It's just one class. And then another. You want to get in shape and work out at the same time. It's just one step and another. You want to restore your marriage. It's just one. I'll tell you, the greatest step you can do for your marriage is this. Watch this. Listen, Not hard at all. In fact, let's close on that idea, because I want to tell you how you can hear from God. And I'm going to help you with this, because all the time people tell me I don't hear God. Listen, if you think it's true that you don't hear God and you believe that, you may not be a Christian. You may not be hearing God because you're not a sheep. Let me be plainly honest to you. Jesus said this, "My sheep hear my voice." If you're not a sheep, you won't hear him. The truth is, you first have to decide in that one step, and listen, it's as simple as saying, I surrender to you. I make you both my Savior and my Lord. That's where it starts. And if you want to hear God's voice, it's as simple as this. When you were kids, just like me, you had friends that were geeky like me, that lived near you, and they played with dumb walkie-talkies. And they thought they were the big stuff, hottest thing since sunburn, when the walkie-talkies came out. I remember when they first came out. And you put those large D batteries in them. The thing was a brick. You could kill somebody with it. I mean, just, hey, how you doing? Where you at? Hey, you know? Well, all right. When you get these walkie-talkies, you're so excited because the person you're talking to on the other end that's walking in with his talkie, he's excited too. And he's got the button down, and you got the button down. You both got the button down. Both people are talking, but nobody listening. You say, I pray. Baby steps. And God says, but you never take your finger off the button. You've never let go and let me speak. Prayer isn't just you talking. Imagine how you feel after 15 minutes with me. Think about that. Would you like to hear me? Let me come to your house every day, and for your prayer time, let me just talk to you for 30 minutes and just see how you feel. You'd be throwing me out the window. I wouldn't get breakfast or nothing. You'd say, would you hush? Is this going to be, do I get to take a breath, Holmes? When you're talking to God, all that's required to hear his voice, if you're his sheep, is take your hand off the button and be quiet and listen to the Holy Spirit and just say, Holy Spirit, what would you like to speak to my heart? And just be quiet. You know, like the two-year-olds, you tell them to sit down and be quiet. Yeah. And then the Holy Spirit says something, and immediately you go, oh, I got a beer. I don't know. That makes me uncomfortable. I'm going to start talking. Wait a minute.
God, I need to tell you a few more things. God, if you could just stay there for just a second. I'm going to come your way with this, God. I'm going to.
Interpretation? And God says, I'm trying to say something here. Yeah, it's going to be uncomfortable. You're going to get convicted, but not condemned. You're going to be given grace, and then you're going to respond with humility. Then you're going to be given an assignment, and then you're going to have to decide, do I like this walkie-talkie or not? Because that's what real prayer is. That's how it feels. And then you're going to respond to what God tells you to do. You're going to go out and do it. And then when you go and do it, you won't even have to press the button again. You're going to hear this. Psh. Are you listening? And you're going to hear the next thing. And you're going to say, oh, praise the Lord. Over. And then you're going to hear the next thing and the next thing. You're going to be free from addiction. that way. You're going to be free from debt that way. You're going to be free from strife that way. Some of you are going to actually put down Facebook. I rejoice for you that you think the whole world has to know all your details all day long and you haven't talked to God for a minute. You're going to put that down too. Or you're going to walk out of church and you're going to go, yes, the Holy Spirit is having me stop by that table and get into a part of this ministry that reaches little kids. Would you stand with me in prayer? So, Father, we thank you this morning that your Son came and gave it all. And, God, it's all still ours. But we thank you that, God, that you don't overwhelm us. You don't, God, you take care of the big things, God. You're only asking that we respond in the little things. And over time, the big things happen in our life. And maybe, God, maybe in this next few moments, you'd cause us to walk up to someone and just say an encouraging word. Maybe you'd cause us, God, to decide to go home today and be loving to our spouse. Maybe you'd cause us, God, to write a card to a grandchild or a son or a daughter that encourages them and just says that, I love you. God, maybe you'd call us by your Holy Spirit to just do something small. And God, let us not despise that small thing. Let us know that, God, that small thing you'll use to tip over, God, the Eiffel Towers in our life that adds up over time, God, to great freedom, great blessing. Maybe that first small step today would be to give our heart solely to you. If that's you today and you've never made the commitment to follow the Lord Jesus Christ with your life, I'm going to remain up here at the end of the service and I would love to talk with you and pray that prayer with you. Don't think because you came to church this morning that you're saved. Being in a building where people worship God doesn't save you. What saves you is the work of Jesus Christ on the cross and the faith in your heart that connects to receiving that work. And you need to do that. You need to confess. You need to show your faith, and it's just one step. Father God, maybe it's to call us to do some things to serve and help in the mission field of LifeWise. Whatever you call us to do by your Holy Spirit, we just take 1 minute right now to listen to you. Please be quiet and listen to the Holy Spirit.